7 seconds left. Tannehill will throw it. And this will end it after the shovel. Or will it? Miami running around, circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle. Touchdown! Oh, Kenyon Drake! A miracle! Miraculous in Miami!
The words right out of my mouth. That was Ian Eagle on the call yesterday for CBS. He's going to join us right now on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Good morning, Ian. We've heard about 9 different calls. We heard Joe Rose's call from the booth. We heard Zolak and the Patriots, and now we hear yours again. It was miraculous.
He got the great video,
yes.
Though.
Well, he got a better seat than you do. That's
he
why,
got
yeah.
him jumping up and down in the end zone, that's and right. people. That was unbelievable. Ian, good morning, and thanks for joining us. What did you think after that and all the bad games we've given you through the years, Ian? It was nice to give you a good one.
Yeah, Joe, they all flashed in front of me in one snapshot. The reality is you've been around this a long time. You could do 100 of those scenarios, and that's going to happen once. That was the one. We've seen it over and over again. It's that helter-skelter, last-minute, right. bedlam, try to create as much right. chaos as possible. And obviously there are so many different layers to this. The Gronkowski part of it is getting the most attention, but even things that led up to it, the drive prior to that from New England, taking a shot to the end zone, stopping the clock, and then allowing Miami to have a little bit more time than they would have had if they had gotten a first down via the run, the game would have been over. And we can go deeper. The Gostkowski misses the extra point, the field goal, the Brady mental gaffe at the end of the second quarter. These are so unpatriot-like. So you have this perfect storm that happens that leads to this improbable moment at the end. Everyone's going to remember the moment, and rightfully so. That's going to live on in NFL history. But anyone that was at the game, anyone that truly paid attention to the game, knows that it took so many things to happen just to get to that point.
Where does this play rank for you now that you have done so many NFL football games? Where do you rank as individual plays? This might be one of the greatest in the history of this franchise. What about for you overall?
Yeah, on a personal level, I don't know if I could come up with a play that was more shocking and had the emotion attached to it that this one had. In addition to the fact, everything that we just laid out, this saved Miami season. You lose the game, you lose ground in the AFC wild card race,
right.
and you're basically done. Obviously, we know that every game that New England plays in the month of December is usually a big one because they're gunning for the number one seed. So this game had so much meaning on top of all of that. So it's not as if, oh, this was a wacky play that happened for a team that was 2-10 and playing out the string. This has prolonged their season, that's made Minnesota next week an immense game for the Miami Dolphins, for Adam Gase, for Ryan Tannehill and company. And then the additional part of it, it's just one of those plays that you're never going to forget. You will never, ever forget this in NFL history. So with that said, I don't think I've done a play that has drawn more attention or called a play that has had more attention than this one. It was truly spectacular on every level.
Well, it's good that the Dolphins have made it. You've been the voice of NBA Jam. You've been interviewed by your son. You got in the news regarding Hugh Jackson lately. Like, a lot of things have happened, but I'm glad that this moment you shared with us down here in Miami. That to me is very special, Ian, because you've done a lot. But yeah, it was a lot yesterday. And like you brought up the Gronk thing. I think the Gronk play, you know, him being in the game is going to be so second-guessed in New England today, and that's going to be everything this whole week kind of prepping for that next game for New England. But the kryptonite also for Brady and Belichick has been coming down to Hard Rock Stadium or coming down here to Miami. It's crazy.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where after a couple of games you say, okay, I'm sure it's just coincidental. But now you start to think there's something more to it. They're 1-5 in their last 6 games going down to South Florida. I know the Patriots downplay it, and that's the way they have to, at least publicly. But privately, they have to be stewing because this one affects them on a deeper level. Now, they got a lot of help in the late games and the way things played out for that number two seed. They got help. The fact that Kansas City won is a real bite to their chances of getting the number one seed. That's basically done. Can they still get home field advantage in the divisional round? They can. But you nailed it. This has been an Achilles heel for them, and it's almost inexplicable. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Obviously, the temperature part of it is what people are going to jump on, and you know the fact that right now Adam Gase has found a little something. The chemistry and the mad scientist mentality is working for them. They seem to find a wrinkle that has hurt the Patriots in the last few times that they've played down there.
Wanted to ask you about Ryan Tannehill. You got to see the close-up of the sprained ankle, and it was a bad one. I mean, he completely turned it over. I thought, No, he goes out. You probably think what I'm thinking for the second half with Osweiler forced to play. This is not a good situation. What'd you think of him coming back and the way he played overall? You've seen a lot of Ryan Tannehill through the years.
Yeah, we went to break, and Dan Fouts and I looked at one another, and Dan said to me, this kid's just got some bad luck because that was a fluke. It's so funny in this league. You show up at these games, you do 17 a year for CBS. I do another 13 or so on the radio between playoffs and regular season, four preseason games. So I'm usually in that 30 to 31 NFL games a year range, if not more. There have been some years. I don't remember seeing that all that often, where an offensive lineman steps on your quarterback. Yeah, you get that occasionally where he might catch the edge of a toe, he might flinch a bit, but a full ankle sprain based on Juwan James planting, that's a fluke, an absolute fluke, and it's a reminder that you show up at these games and you never know what you're going to see. So I thought, well, that might be the weirdest thing I'll see all day. And
it'd be hard to beat that one, yeah.
Yeah, that's all that. But, Joe, to your point, Tannehill, he's a tough guy. I think there's a sense, and you're really close to it, so it's really the outside looking in. But talking to some of the Patriot players, there's a sense that Tannehill is showing better command and that the marriage with Gase, if he could just stay healthy, could be a fruitful one. But again, the Dolphins are going to have to make these decisions at the end of the year based on what they have. And oftentimes their reports are incomplete because keeping him on the field has been the biggest challenge.
It's been the hardest thing so far for Ryan the last couple of years is keeping healthy. I know that you're on the Minnesota game for TV next week with the Dolphins again, but you got to prepare for a pretty big Thursday night game also in Westwood One, Chargers and Chiefs. This has ended up being Thursday Night Football hit a home run this week. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Immense. I've had both teams quite a bit this year. In fact, I had the first meeting between the two that really wasn't much of a meeting. That was Kansas City going into Los Angeles with a bunch of Chiefs fans in attendance and showing the league what they're capable of. You know, that was Mahomes in that opening week where you think to yourself, all right, is this real? Is this guy going to be able to do this every week? Or did he just catch the Chargers napping? And obviously the answer has been the former because he's been the MVP. He is really gifted. He is a special, special talent. And Phillip Rivers has had as fine a season as he's ever had. And that's saying a lot because I think he's going to the Hall of Fame. So to do this at the age of 37, he turned 37 over the weekend. This is going to be a big, big game for the NFL at this stage of the year on this stage. On Thursday night, the question will just be elements and how the Chargers handle that. And defensively, if the Chiefs can get their act together, that's been a concern. I had Chiefs Raiders last weekend, and it was not a strong showing. But I guess we see that Oakland at least is improving after what they did yesterday.
Well, I'll tell you what. How about this wild thought? L.A. getting back in the business here the last couple of years. How about that for a Super Bowl? Which is not crazy. It could happen. You imagine the Rams and the Chargers playing in L.A.? How good would that be? How much fun would that be?
Well, considering that we have to go back 3 years and there's no football there, none, and there was an extended period of time. So I got to CBS in 1998, and there was no L.A. You didn't go there. You didn't think about it. You didn't ponder it. it was one of those markets that would pop up on a map, but in terms of football, you just didn't even put it in the equation. To think now they have two teams that are flourishing at the level that they are playing at this year, and the fact that they could meet in Atlanta and go head-to-head in what would be a tremendous storyline. It's interesting, though, guys, when you go out there. L.A.'s so big. There's so much to do. The sunshine, the surf.
Right.
I don't know where these teams rank in priority. It's still kind of new and novel. And Rams fans have gotten to it a little bit. I think they've connected more with the franchise. But the Chargers situation was so odd that there was this feeling that there was detachment. Their old fan base didn't quite know what to do. The new fan base wasn't growing. The team is really high quality, and I think hopefully they get some traction out there.
Yeah, Chargers win this week. You'll have the number one seed in the AFC and the number two seed in the NFC, both from LA.
That's why it's not crazy that it could happen. Well, I'll tell you what, my friend, we're spending a lot of time with you. We'll have to come over. I got stuck in the end zone at home, but I think we're going to be a little bit closer in Minnesota, so I come over and see you. Thank you so much, as always, for coming on, Ian. We really appreciate it.
Joe, do you own a winter coat? You're going to wear that leather thing I've seen you
wear sometimes.
That's not going to
come. Hey, man, I spent a lot of money. Now you sound like my buddies. They always bust my chops. They go, dude, that's all you wear. I go, spent a lot of money in Italy for this bad boy.
Right, yeah.
I got to wear it, man.
You should wear the price tag on the outside. Yeah.
Instead of the jersey number, just how much it cost. I'm okay with
you
that.
You are beautiful, man. Thank you.
Ian, thanks for your time. As always, we'll bug you again soon.
I look forward
Thank
to it.
You.
All right, that was Ian Eagle from CBS.
You busted me about my leather jacket, man.
That's the one I see when you do that show before the Dolphins games all the time in the cold weather.
Yeah, but it's going to be indoors, so I'm not going to bring it.
No, but when you're in Buffalo and you do that.
Oh, I have it there.
I know. The cup of Joe before the game, and I get to see you in that jacket.
Pretty bad he even notices when I wear that damn thing.
Ian Eagle, man.
That's bad, man.